Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the Raindance Film Festival 2014, joined by filmmaker and actor Ryan McGuire and producer and actor Mark Fletcher. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
You guys are presenting this awesome film that's really like this insane experience called Window Licker. So first of all, for our listeners, would you like to tell us a little bit about what the film is about story-wise?
Sure, yes. Window Licker is about a guy named Ben Wild who's gone completely insane with a new form of insanity that no other human being has ever had to deal with, and it's told through his eyes. He's addicted to reality television. He's addicted to video games and cam girls. So you'll see Ben, who's played by myself, like watching a lot of this stuff, masturbating to the cam girls, playing lots of video games. You know, it's kind of what most people do every day in normal society, you know. So the crazy person in this movie is to represent every one of us, you know, is kind of the deal.
Exactly. So, I mean, the inspiration really came from just normality, this madness of normality that we're living in.
That's it, exactly. You know, with all the technology and the way that people are connected and unconnected at the same time is really quite insane in my eyes, you know.
So there's something very interesting about the way in which you shot the film. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, well, I just got a smartphone for the first time in my life, and I was like really blown away by the fact that it had this like camera that shot in full HD. And I really wanted to like come up with a story that fit the aesthetic of the cell phone. So 70% of the film is shot on a cell phone, and then it goes into like Canons and Panasonics and even the Red Epic. But the aesthetic, I feel like, you know, the story of a crazy person who's like losing it and going further into his descent, it was perfect for the medium of a cell phone, you know. So that was the idea there.
Kind of adds a different layer of depth to the film in itself, even just the technique, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the fact that the film was like it was made very low budget, and the concept was to always use like sort of the low budget aspects of the film to like enhance what is there, what's crazy about this world, and you know, all that sort of stuff. So the sound is running rampant and wild throughout the whole film, and at one point I wanted to have a cricket throughout the entire movie, but I nixed that idea, and but it does show up here and there throughout the film, but I wanted it to be for the entire time at one point. But
that's right, because it's not just the visuals, it's the sound too. Yeah. It's there's something really unsettling about it. Isn't that right?
Yeah, especially the loud, like the lawnmower.
Going through
in that one part.
There's a scene with myself and Mark. Mark plays Billy Walchuk in the film, and that's like kind of a friend of Ben Wilde's who he hadn't seen since grade school. And when Billy shows up, all of the dialogue is recorded like after the fact in like an ADR type, you know, way. So therefore, it would create even more of a bizarre sort of like, is this real or really not happen? Is this guy a real person or not? You know, and it just kind of adds with like babies crying and lawnmowers going in the background at all times throughout that scene.
The helicopter is kind of cool too. I've noticed whenever you feel your character feels threatened, like the guy coming in to give you money at the most heightened parts, there is a helicopter going on as if like you're being surveilled.
Yeah.
Like your fear of like they're coming in to get you.
Yeah, the movie's, you know, it's like it taps into many genres. I feel like it's a mystery. I feel like it's a horror film. It's a noir film. It's a dark comedy. It kind of hits and rides through a bunch of places, I feel like.
Yeah. It must have been a heck of a post-production.
Oh, it was brutal. It took about 9 months to do. I mean, because there's worlds upon worlds within, and, you know, I had to build the website for the cam girls. I had to build the video game. I had to shoot the reality show and edit that together. And, you know, yeah, so it was nuts.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But we started with the post-production, but let's talk about how this film actually came about from the beginning, with the genesis of Window Licker.
The genesis of Window Licker probably comes from the fact that we were trying to make this film called One, and we had the money three times. It fell apart. We shot about 20 minutes of that, and then like in the madness of like trying to like save this film and put it together, which we weren't able to do, I, you know, basically took that script and like made a low budget version of it, and like it kind of parallels in the structure of the script, but it was the cell phone kind of like inspired the film, and just the reality of the world we live in and how fucked up it is. Oh, I don't know if I can say that on the internet, but
we can now.
Yes. So
you can say whatever you want.
It's
at
a weird
film
world.
Radio.
Yes, okay, there
like
we go.
What happened to you in Slam Dance?
Oh yeah,
what happened to you at Slam Dance?
Well, when I got to Slam Dance, I got elevation sickness and I threw up for 15 hours straight. And so there's a scene in the movie where Ben's throwing up all over the place and hallucinating, and that was very much like based off of this experience that I had throwing up for 15 hours in Utah. So yeah,
so direct references to your own personal.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was hallucinating like crazy when I was throwing up. Yeah, but yeah, a lot. I like to steal moments from my life that are embarrassing, and I feel like those are relatable, you know. And so therefore, that's how I feel like an independent film can work, you know.
Right. Yeah. So as the producer and actually this, one of the actors of the film, what was it like on the set? Was it hard to keep it like in on track, or was it
no,
constructive madness?
Because he had such a view from beginning to end, and the way we shot, so like shooting the reality TV show and shooting that, and then most of it he did editing. I mean, yeah. If anything, it was always interesting when I was like running out to do something and someone goes, "What are you working on?" I'm like, "Oh, this film," and I try to describe it. But the best way that always hit me is I just came out of a relationship that was just chaotic. So my head was already spinning, and I felt like that was the story. Mm. It's like whenever you've gone through something traumatic, except for because he was crazy, you saw everything that was going on in his head. Yeah. Like when you don't have the answer to things, you don't know what's going on, and it's like that mad world.
But absolutely, yeah. That's a good point. I mean, at the core of it all, it's something that we can really all relate to.
Yeah, and that's the goal, is to make a film that everyone can feel like they're a part of in some weird way. And even as crazy as this one is, I feel like it's very relatable, you know, because Ben Wilde is every one of us, essentially, you know, addicted to the internet and all things technical these days.
Addicted to a path of self-destruction.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what the world is, right?
Yeah. Or just the lies we hide from everyone. That's what's probably killing us.
Yeah.
Yeah, this perception of ourselves that we create, this image of ourselves that we create through the internet.
That's true, yeah. It's like another persona. Yeah.
There's a lot in this film, but I'm just curious. Was there like a script? Was there a certain structure? Did you know exactly what you would be shooting on the day, or was it just really impulsive?
Yeah, no, there was I wrote a script for it, and yeah, like pretty much the movie follows the script and dialogue line by line pretty much, you know. There wasn't too much improvisation. I mean, there was crazy, you know, like so the sick scene where I'm throwing up all over the place and there's like tigers and, you know, snakes and all these like green screen animals popping in, like I pulled all these sort of, you know, animals together, but I really didn't know where to place the camera, and I just like kind of lucked out and like was able to like fit them into the frames and stuff like that. But there was a lot of like just figuring it out as I was going, you know. But I always sort of saw the bigger picture and knew what it was supposed to be in the end. So, and I feel like we achieved that mark. So,
yeah. Here's a question I want to ask both of you: What do you guys think that it's? What are the pros and cons of shooting a film with very little money and with such equipment that, you know, like phones and webcams and...
Well, I would say, I mean, I don't know, there wasn't too much of a problem because it was all in the design to like shoot on this phone and like capture everything in a real raw way. And even the audio was very much recorded on basically what you're holding in your hand right now, you know. It was like one of those H4 or something like that. But you know, it was always designed to just like use the sloppiness, the grindiness, and make that the film, you know. So it wasn't hard this time. You know, we've made another film that was shot on the cell phone as well, called One World, 100 Lonely, and that one takes place in Los Angeles, London, and New Mexico, and it's a completely different vibe, a completely different feel. It's like more of a drama. I mean, there's some comedy elements in it, but it's more like based in a reality. It feels somewhat like a Terrence Malick film, with like long poetic moments and beautiful like imagery and stuff like that, but still shot with a cell phone. So
right,
yeah.
So what do you think, Mark? Is this the future of independent filmmaking?
Well, in some ways, I mean, that's why I think most people go to YouTube to watch things. But I like, with what we have, I feel like you have more freedom to do things you could not do with a big budget film. Unlike just creatively, you just couldn't do it.
Story-wise, you couldn't get away with, you know, making some of these stories with a studio with a bunch of money behind it.
I mean, and I think the hardest part, I mean, just like watching, if you watch the film, the things that were done there you couldn't have done otherwise. Mm. But I feel the only hard thing about it is then people are so used to watching a film in a certain format, it's just to watch it. Because then once you watch it is when you feel like the humanity of whatever it is. Mm. And it's more close to life in that sense.
Yeah.
So I think that there's any hardship, it's just like just realizing, no, there's nothing wrong with the film. Watch the damn film. And then see what you think.
So let me. This kind of brings me to the next question. What's next for Window Liquor? It's been shown now. It's shown at Rain Dance. Yep. Been shown at other festivals.
Well, the cool thing about Window Liquor is we went into distribution with the film even before we went to our first film festival. So it's available in 200 countries. The UK being one of them. You can find it on Google Play in this country. Yeah, but so the goal is to try to, you know, get a few more film festivals and set up more screenings in the future, so we can say if you liked it, buy it, support it, rent it. It's $2 on Google Play to buy, so yeah. That's kind of the deal, you know, like see if we can make a little bit of money off of it. And
yeah, we can make our next film.
Yeah,
but anything, right. If you like it, you might as well, you'll check out. There's like, and I think another 4 or 5 films out there anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and it's not that the phones are the future. It's just that, you know, if you want to make a movie, you can. You know what I mean? So I hope to make bigger budget movies, smaller budget movies. Just telling great stories is the goal, you know.
That's cool, great.
Doesn't matter how much money I have to do it.
I mean, it sounds like not only through the filming, but also through what happens after the film is finished. You guys tried something entirely different. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You got to do what you can to get your work out there.
Yeah, it's a sheer desperation of wanting to be heard and, you know, make a living at doing what we're doing, which we're barely doing at this point, but that's part of the fun.
It's basically, you got to try something different, like, you know, nowadays, if you want to survive in the film industry, or if you want to make a name for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many filmmakers that make, like, the Sundance cookie cutter film that it's like, man, I've seen this film a million times, and that's great, but, you know, what happened to originality? I felt like in the 90s, there were so many crazy movies that were coming out, and there was a lot of money for those movies at the time, but, like, just more original stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Plus, one thing I like about
Let's get back to it.
The film, I mean, using the camera too, and this one and the One World, 100 Lonely, because that one, like this one, when you see it, it's so enclosed into his world. In One World, 100 Lonely, everything is outside in the world.
Very big
and what was really cool about it is that everybody has a cell phone. So someone having a cell phone and then someone else going on with their life, nobody pays attention. So it's like you're really out in the world amongst everyone, not other extras, not anything.
Nobody knows you're shooting the film.
And you're just there in the midst of it. So being really private and public really creates a whole different like realm. That makes it so interesting.
It was a pleasure talking with you guys, and I wish you all the best with Window Liquor, which I found to be incredible. You know, you don't see many films like this.
Yeah, thanks.
So thanks very much. Thanks very much. It was a pleasure talking with you. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.